get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Bashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.
The All In Show with Savannah Murphy on Bashani Radio in New York City. Always talking about everything. We all have a story to tell. What's yours? Syndicated worldwide listen on Bashani app. Sponsored by Good Helpers Heating and Cooling and Labor Services, the number one HVAC company in Metro Detroit. 313-270-3600. 313-270-3600.
Welcome, welcome, my all-in listeners. This is Savannah Murphy, brought to you by Bashani Radio out of New York City, where they're always talking about everything. And here at All In, so are we. Everyone has a story. What's yours? Today, I am very excited. I have a special guest with me, Chef Boudreaux. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Did I just pronounce your name correctly?
It's okay. It's Boudreaux.
Boudreaux. Okay, there we go. So I am very excited to have you on. I've been doing lots of research and I have been watching a lot of your YouTube videos where you're a natural, and I love everything you cook. It's awesome. You have comedy in there. It's an easy watch. I definitely can't recreate the dishes, but I definitely want to eat all of them.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, that's what I try to do, just to, you know, because sometimes just being like, you know, I just like to have fun. So I just think without the comedy there, it's just, it's a little boring to me.
And that's you. I mean, you can just tell a piece of you with each, each recording. It's just natural. And, you know, you love what you do. Your passion comes out in it. And that's what, it kind of geared me to want to have you on the show, because this show is a lot about motivation and inspiration and people that just live off passion and kind of find themselves, you know, in wherever God intended them to be and living their purposeful life while incorporating their passion into that. So I want to kind of jump into that with you a little bit. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are, like what your background is? You have a pretty extensive resume here where your love for cooking came from.
Well, my love for cooking came from my mother. First of all, my name is Chef Kirk James Boudreaux Sr. of Boudreaux's Catering. I'm a native of New Orleans, Louisiana. I currently live in Dallas. I'm a Le Cordon Bleu graduate of 13 years, but I've been catering since 97. I try to provide unique private catering and culinary services that include regional and international cuisines. And you also check me out at Rebrandly/Chef Boudreaux. My passion came from my mother, though. It all started like at a young age, and she was like, I need to teach you how to cook, because when you get older, you will not be coming to my house to eat. So, you know, basically that's how it started. And actually I started baking because my mom, my grandmother, they all, you know, cooked everything from scratch. You know, they were country girls. You know, they were raised in the country of Bashery, Louisiana. So it started with that. But as I got older, you know, I kind of fell in love with the culinary side, and that's what happened.
So what was that first? Obviously, you know, you come to have a love for it. It's obviously part of your genetics. Your family has a love for the kitchen and cooking. And I loved the episode on your YouTube channel. I encourage everyone to watch it, where his mom brought him over a corned beef brisket and you decided to try to smoke it and make a Reuben, and it mm-hmm. looked delicious. And then your mom was so cute on the end of the episode. She's so adorable. So it just, you know, just was kind of really nice to see a part of your heart there. You could tell you guys have a very endearing relationship. So, you know, you find that love for cooking, that passion at a young age. And so how did that kind of, you know, through your teens and into, you know, your early adulthood, how did you really start to streamline that into, okay, I could, this is my passion, this is what I love, now I want to monetize that? How do I make that a living for myself?
Well, at first, I mean, you know, at first I was young. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? I had no clue. You know, it's like, we were just trying, at that time in New Orleans, we were just trying to make it to 18 and see if you can make it to 21. It was just, it was just that kind of life in the city. And right. So, but for my mom, she was like, I need to teach you something, you know, that may be able to help you later on, you know, because I didn't know deeply. I did not know what I wanted to do. And I started getting, you know, working little odd jobs and stuff like that. But cooking was always something I'd done. People, it just seemed like people would knock on my door when they know that I was cooking. You know, and it's like, hey, man, I was just passing over, you know, oh, you smell the food, didn't you? You know, it's, yeah. It was kind of like that. So, you know, and then as I got to be in my teens, people were like, hey, man, I'm going by Boudreaux house to eat. Man, do you see the food that this dude, mom, keeps in the refrigerator or in the freezer? So it was like my house was the go-to house to eat, you know what I'm saying? So, and, you know, but when I got older and then I moved to Dallas, that was actually the plan to do a catering service with a friend of mine. But that kind of fell through. And so I started working odd jobs, and then I just decided, I said, man, you know, I can't do this, because I had a job in New Orleans where I was off on weekends. I was working during the week. I worked for the city. So I had a good foundation for as a job. But when I moved here, it didn't work that way. So
right.
I just was looking at TV one day, and the Cordon Bleu, a commercial for the Cordon Bleu came. It was on the commercial. And I thought about it. I said, man, you know what? Maybe you need to go back to school and get your degree in culinary arts. Mm, you know, I not thinking that. Because I wasn't really, and to be honest, I wasn't really, I was an okay student, but I wasn't really too in tune with math. I made okay grades, but it was just, and then I end up picking an occupation that deals with nothing but conversions and stuff like that. So I'm like, man, why would you want to do that? I'm thinking we just gonna get in there and start cooking. You're gonna get graded. No, it didn't work like that. So,
so everything, you know, was that easy, right?
Exactly. So I got my degree in 2008 because we had to wait, because we were like the guinea pigs of this school, because they just opened this school in Dallas. And I was actually leaving within 2 weeks to go to Orlando, to the Le Cordon Bleu in Orlando. But when I saw that they were actually building this school, I stopped over there and I told them, you know, I told the lady everything that was going on as far as me enrolling into the school in Orlando. And she was like, we can get you transferred here. You don't even have to leave, because I had just moved. And I was like, I didn't want to leave my family and stuff like that. So That's how that ended up happening.
And that's, you know, honestly, that's such a story of like divine intervention, if you ask me, because I mean, you happen to move to Dallas, right? You're trying to just kind of get a better life. You have this opportunity with a friend, and like so many things in life, right? Things fall through, but it got you where you needed to be. And just by chance, you're watching, you know, the commercial, and it strikes in you that, you know what, I'm going to go back and get my culinary, you know, certification. And then they open one right there in Dallas. I mean, that's a lot of alignment. You right. know what I mean?
But honestly, the scary part for me was like, man, you haven't been to school in so long. And then most of the people that I was in school with were way younger than I was. So I felt kind of out of place. I was like, man, they gonna run circles around me. But one thing I did have above them is that I did have a little bit of cooking skills. Mm-hmm. So that kind of helped me in a lot of ways. You know, really what I've learned more was about technique and cooking methods and flavor profiling and, you know, things like that, and how to julienne, and, you know, knife skills and and stuff like that. So and different sauces and your five mother sauces. So it was a pleasure for me to learn that, because once you get all that part, that the technical part down, the rest is easy. And your prep work, is what's really the hard part, you know.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And I think too, it's so funny that you say that, but I mean, you came in there with more skin in the game than probably half those, you know, younger students. And you had already lived a life, you know, that kind of set you in place, and you just were going to become a master of your craft, which you already had the passion. And I think that sometimes if you don't have the passion, you can go to any school and get any degree, any kind of, you know, educating, but if you don't have the passion, it's just not that light inside you. You're just not going to succeed. And you already had that. You were born with that. You know, your mom and your grandma, and, you know, they instilled that in you.
Right. And that's the same thing that I tell my kids. You know, it's like, hey, man, you know, don't let people tell you to direct you into something just because it's more money to be made, because you can get that degree and then get on that job and don't even like it. You have exactly. to be passionate about what you want to do with your life and be happy, you know, because sometimes, you know, everything I think has a downtime. Like, you know, it's times where I don't get called as much during a certain part of the year. And right. so what I try to do is supplement that time or try to make do with the time that I have when I have it. So.
And I mean, that's, what a great life lesson to instill in your children. And really, I have to commend you, and like so many of my guests that have come on the show, just for showing your kids to bet on themselves. You know, you went after your dream, and a lot of people don't do that because there's so many other things to where, like you said, you had a job in New Orleans that, you know, allowed you to be off on the weekends, and maybe it was a little bit more safe, but it wasn't the life that was you were destined to live.
And it's crazy because I moved a year before Hurricane Katrina, and I was a wow. pumping plant operator for the city that pumps the water out of the city. So if I would have been there, I would have been caught up in that too as well.
Oh my gracious.
So yeah, so it was a plus for me to move, and it was a better situation for my youngest son. Being that he's very articulate, and that, you know, growing up in New Orleans, we all speak different. You know what I mean?
There's a street slang.
Yeah, street slang, or just the way we talk, because you can talk to anybody in the city. I don't care if you're from uptown, downtown, or close to where the airport is. Everybody, we all talk flat. You know what I'm saying? We just, it's just a thing. You know what I'm saying? So, and sometimes you have to question, like, hey, wait, say that again. So I had to revamp the way that I spoke when I moved here to Dallas, because a lot of people really didn't understand, and probably still to this day don't, but I'm a little bit better with it than what I was when I first moved here.
Well, I think it's great. And it's part of, you know, what makes you, and, you know, it's great that you, you know, gave your children, you know, an opportunity, and that's, you know, that's all one can ever wish for, I think, as a parent. So with that, so you're doing all these amazing things. What are some of the defining moments, that led to where you are today?
Fine moments.
See, this is where I like to stump people, chef.
You mean like my defining moments?
Yeah. Just kind of like, obviously we talked about, you know, where your origination of your love came, you know, from being in the kitchen with your mom and your family. But, you know, obviously you've had these different defining moments that have kind of led you here, and some divine intervention God showed favor on you, as far as I'm concerned, you know, getting you out of, you know, this New Orleans before Katrina happened, and where you would have been directly in the thick of it, and, you know, giving you the opportunity at this new life that's kind of catapulted you into this celebrity chef that you are today.
Well, I think one of them is like, you know, being in control of my destiny and surrounding myself with people who are positive and know their worth and also smarter than I am, you know, because I can learn more and step my game up. And you know, like some of my minority chefs, like Chef Roble and Chef G. Garvin, you know, a lot of those chefs, they had their own TV shows, but they still allow themselves to remain relevant by social media as well. And I do follow them, and they keep me informed. They also keep me on top of my game to make sure that, I mean, because, you know, it's so many different ways and being innovative in cooking. It's not the same, you know, everybody's into the sous vide and to the reverse searing and stuff like that. So you wanna try to learn, because it's something to learn about culinary or cooking every day. There's something new going on. And that's, you know, that's my story. And I'm sticking to it. So.
No, I love that. I mean, it's huge. And that's your story. That's part of your, you know, all in. So I know that you had an opportunity, right, while you were in school to be a personal chef for Ricky Smiley, right?
Yeah.
And yep. I mean, how many other, you've been able to cater for a lot of different artists.
Yeah. Well, through Ricky, it's funny how I actually met him, because I would go to his show. He had a show, a karaoke / comedy show that he would do. And he's still doing it in Birmingham, but he was doing it here in Dallas. At this place called Maxwell's every Monday night. And I would go to the show, and I started noticing that the waitress would start putting me closer and closer to the stage. And I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? So, and then after that, I started having a reserve spot. So I'm like, wait a minute. So, and it was kind of like after Katrina, and I had, well, you know, I was married at the time, and we just so happened to take, we had like 30 people living with us after Katrina happened, and his friends, family or whatever. And so just to kind of, you know, ease their minds a little bit about what was going on, we took them to the show, and he was like, man, I noticed that we have a lot of people in here from New Orleans. Is there anyone out here that can make me a good gumbo and an etouffee? And my sister-in-law jumps up with her. She was like, my brother-in-law, he could tell. Like, wait a minute. I'm giving her the cut it off under the throat kind of thing. Hey, cut that. We didn't come here for that, you know? Mm-hmm. But, like, hey, man, come here. I was like, nah, I'm not coming up there.
Oh, my gracious.
He was like, if you don't come up here, I'm going to roast you all night.
And I was like, love it.
So I went up there, and he told me about this, you know, when he came down off stage, he told me about this thing that he was trying to do. He was trying to do for these students at the school in Dallas, and they were trying to help raise money for them to go for a trip to Disney World. And I said, okay, sure. Then I'll cook some gumbo, and I'll bring some etouffee. And because apparently these kids had never been outside of Dallas City Limits, let alone even Six Flags here in Dallas.
Oh, wow.
So they were trying to help raise money for them. So I brought the food to him. And then that wasn't even the end of the story. How I even began to cook for him was another episode after the show. It was another day, probably about 2 weeks after. My sister-in-law was taking the kids to school. She's bringing the kids to school, and she came back in the house hollering, screaming, Kirk, get up. And I was like, 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, wait a minute. I got to get ready to go to school. So I'm like, she was like, Chef, I think Ricky doesn't have a chef anymore. You need to call the guy who introduces him, because I had his number. So I called him, and I said, hey, man, what I'm hearing on the radio is that you know, Ricky doesn't have a show. And he said, yeah, man. I said, well, what you think I should do? He said, go there with your whole arsenal. I said, well, you ain't said nothing slick to a can of oil. So I picked up all my stuff and went to the radio station. And when he saw me, he was like, oh, man, come on in. So they buzzed me in. And I was making everything from omelets to order. I had scones, bagels. I had everything that you can imagine for breakfast. And that's when he said, hey, man, I need you to write me a proposal. I'll say, okay, well, I'm going to go to the house, type it up for you real nice, and I'll bring it for you in the morning when I bring the breakfast. He's like, man, go in the green room and write it out and bring it back to me.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, hey, man, you ain't got to talk to me like that, but okay. So, and that's how our relationship started. And then he got syndicated before he left, and did, but then they moved him to Atlanta. And so we never lost contact, although I was not his chef, but we never lost contact. And when he took over the Tom Joyner morning show, he called me and he said, hey, man, I'm moving back to Dallas. I said, so what that mean? I get my job back?
Right.
He said, why you think I'm calling you? Mm-hmm. I said, okay. Hey, man, once again, you ain't got to talk to me like that. So that has, and that actually was a good start. But then COVID happened. And before it got really bad, we were actually doing videos together. But then COVID got really bad. So he just decided that he would broadcast, not from the radio station here, but from Birmingham, Alabama. So When I started doing my segment on the radio, I would just call in. And I would send the video to his people and they would upload it to all my social media platforms.
Gotcha.
So, and from this day, we still are 100 grand tight.
I love it. Yep. Another divine intervention. I mean, things like that just don't happen all the time, but I'm glad that you sound like you have a really good support system. And obviously you guys were very thoughtful in opening your home up and being there for family. And, you know, that led you, you know, to have these really great opportunities and exposure for, mm-hmm. you know, for being a chef and for cooking and just allowing your growth as a chef. So that, you know, that's an awesome story. I love every bit of it. We're going to take a real quick break and then we're going to come back, talk a little bit more about what it is that you're doing right now, how the, you know, pandemic, you know, kind of has or hasn't affected you. What are some awesome things that you got on the horizon? We'll be right back.
Excellence, experience, prompt service. This is what you get from Good Helpers Heating and Cooling and Jones Labor Services. We have over 20 years experience. Good Helpers is there to make your life easier. With 20 years experience, we can take care of any heating or cooling situation. Let Good Helpers help you. Call 313-270-3600. 313-270-3600.
Welcome back, my all-in listeners. It's yours truly, Savannah Murphy. And we are here talking with Chef Boudreau. We are so excited to have you on, Chef. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So we were talking a little bit before we took a break, just kind of about your journey and all of these different points in your life where you made, you know, decisions in almost, you know, gut reactions on some opportunities and on a passion and wanting better for your children and all of these different things that just kind of each time you made a decision, it just felt like even though it wasn't always easy and opportunities maybe fell apart, it kind of aligned. It still ended up working out. And that's what I try to strive with the listeners is that we all have a story. Not everyone's story is perfect and nobody achieves greatness easily. That just doesn't happen. So here we are present day, right? What do you have going on? What are some things that, you know, you're doing? We're in this pandemic. You know, how has that kind of affected, you know, your business in some of the endeavors that you're doing, or how, you know, hasn't it affected it? Just trying to get a feel for, you know, what your thoughts are right now.
Well, as of now, I'm still doing, like, I've been traveling even during the pandemic. I've just been very cautious of how I move, you know, and very careful of the way that I move. So, but the pandemic really hasn't affected me, I think, because they've shut down a lot of restaurants and stuff. And so when it came down to like Thanksgiving or just stuff in general, people will call me because they don't want to go out to eat, or they can't go out to eat. So if they have family in town or anything like that, they will call me. So it really didn't affect me that hard. I think it's affecting everyone and the economy and every stuff. I just think that people are really, you know, far as I'm concerned, it's not really affecting me because I don't work in the industry anymore. I'm basically doing my own thing. But I do feel some type of way for the people that do or have those jobs in the industry and no longer working. So they have to find some other means. But for me, it's never really been a problem for me. And I've continued to make my videos. I make videos even when I'm not doing videos for the Ricky Smiley Morning Show. So I try to keep the people's morale up, you know, and try not to have them down and in the, you know, down in the dumps kind of thing.
So. Well, no, and I think that's positive. I've talked to many people that, you know, could have been affected by it, but didn't give in to, you know, figuring out other ways, figuring out other means to be successful and to grow. So with that being said, like, what are you doing right now? What excites you? You know, what do we have to, you know, look forward and how can people stay on their toes with your awesome cooking and just kind of see what you're doing?
Oh, well.
Good eating, right?
Good eating. That's good eating, of course. Well, what I'm doing right now is I'm rebranding myself all my social media. So you can go to brand.ly/Chef Boudreaux, and that's my website. I have all my social media, for as Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, my Facebook.
The All In Show with Savannah Murphy on Bashani Radio in New York City. Always talking about everything. We all have a story to tell. What's yours? Syndicated worldwide listen on Bashani app. Sponsored by Good Helpers Heating and Cooling and Labor Services, the number one HVAC company in Metro Detroit. 313-270-3600. 313-270-3600.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.